Thank you for your son that died on the cross for us. Thank you that you gave us the victory already because we have you, Lord. Thank you that we are set free because of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we are free to come and worship you wholeheartedly, Lord. Thank you that we are able to serve you and be your servants, God, because that's all I long for, Lord, is to be yours forever. That you'll talk through the pastor and that it will be your words and not his, and that your Holy Spirit would just enter this place and enter our lives, and that this worship and Pastor Stan's word would change us completely, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
God is good, amen? Thank you, Lord. Our children are screaming as they leave. But we know they're going to a good, safe place. And we're so thankful for people who take care of them. And I'm just going to ask Margarita to come up at this time. She wants to share a little bit and tell us a little bit about Vacation Bible School, I think. And we're excited about that. That's going to start in a week's time, right?
Good morning. I just want to tell you about our Vacation Bible School. That is our first Vacation Bible School that we're doing in Porter's Hands. And there is a lady from another church. She's coming to help us and guide us in this first Vacation Bible School. And we need the collaboration of all of you. Some of you have the talent and the desire to help with kids, but some of you maybe not, but you can still help reaching out kids outside, your neighbors, your nieces, nephews, friends, or that you can send here. Is from 9 to 12, from the 21st to the 25th of July. It will be here. Children from 3 to 12, and there is a fee of $5 for whoever can pay. If you cannot pay, that's okay. And what else? So if you want to volunteer to help with the kids, you can see me at the nursery and write your name down. And if you want to register somebody, then also go there and register them. And it will be very exciting. It will be part of what God plans for this church, to reach out kids to change their lives. So be part of it. Thanks.
Let's pray about that. Amen. We should pray for this, so let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to do a Vacation Bible School, and we just pray for your blessing. God, we need your hand on this, and we need you, Lord, to provide the volunteers and the kids as well. And Lord, we just pray it's not going to be about how many people are here, but that lives can really be changed, that so many people have been touched through Vacation Bible School or through Sunday School, where they just learn about Jesus. And so we pray about that today. I pray, God, that you will bring in children who don't know you, that they will come to know you, that they'll come to understand you as a God who loves them. I pray, God, that there'll be lives that'll be changed forever, not just for a little while, but lives that'll be changed forever. I thank you so much for Margarita, and I pray that your hand will be upon her, God. Give her a great blessing. Give her just an extra injection of your joy. She's such a joyful woman. I thank you for that. I just pray that you'll bless her and continue to bless her in the ministry that she has here with the children. We thank you so much, God, for providing for this. You're an amazing God. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Linda Wilson's helping. I think it's great that we got someone from another church or another church that's working with us, that we work together to see more children come to know Jesus. Amen? Thank you. And is there any handouts or anything, or how do we just come and sign up? And if there's people or if there's some children or grandchildren that you have Let Margarita know, okay? Because we're trying to make sure we can promote this too. Thank you, God. Well, the theme so far has been, you know, that he makes some beautiful things out of ashes. He makes all things beautiful. And that's a good reminder. It's been a hard week for us as a congregation. We lost someone who was part of our church, who came not all the time, but she came quite regularly, and she overdosed this week. Her name was Cindy, and that's Kim's sister. And Kim's right. I don't know if she's coming back or not, if she's in nursery or not, but I just want to remember, you know, Cindy today. And it's a tough thing when that happens. Cindy was doing well. She was clean for just about a year, from what I understand, until, you know, the enemy works that way sometimes, that you start feeling like you're doing pretty good, and then back in June, there's something happened, you know, something snapped, and there was this invitation to try this again or to go back to the old life, and she decided to do that, and it went from bad to worse from that point on. And you know, we're only, any one of us is only here today because of grace. None of us is any better or any smarter. If you think you're smarter than the person next to you, you're wrong. Every single one of us is liable to fall. Yes, even if you're sitting next to your wife, Jerry. Every one of us is liable to fall. Every one of us stumbles and has stumbled. And it's only by God's grace that we're saved. And it's only because he loves us, and it's only because he just keeps reaching out and saying, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to just save you once. I keep saving you. I keep saving you, and it's because I just keep loving you, and you're so precious to me. You need to know that today. You need to know that you're precious to God. Cindy was precious to God, and, you know, she loved God. She really did. She loved him with all her heart. She was in church here about a month ago, and I had a call for people to come forward for prayer, and she knew that she was struggling, and she came to the front, and we prayed, and she just said, I just got to get this together. I need to make this happen. And I said, you can't make it happen. Only God can do this. But we're going to pray for you. And we did. We prayed. And unfortunately, she died this week. And I believe that in spite of how we live or the mistakes we make, that God's, the cross, you know, the blood of Jesus is more powerful than our sin even. And I believe that Cindy's with Jesus. I really do. I know that she knew him and she loved him. And in some ways, there's just a relief from this world. And, you know, she battled with that addiction for decades of her life. Some of you guys know what that's like. Battling and losing, and then you win a little bit, and then you lose again. And I appreciate the song this morning. He makes all things beautiful. You know, he makes, how's it go again? Thank you. He makes beautiful things out of the dust. That's profound. You know, in the end, that's all we are. It's just dust. We start off as dust, right? And in the end, that's where we end. He makes beautiful things out of the dust. Garth, were you going to say something today? Or I don't know if you wanted to say nothing. I know. Okay, that's right. I gave Garth that opportunity because I know that he's grieving and he's not the only one. And I thought, you know, if you're not able to, that's fine. But let's take a couple minutes this morning. Let's talk about how that's true. You don't know this, but we're talking about you. In a good way. We're talking about Cindy and just kind of week this has been and a hard week it's been. And just that God makes out of the dust, he makes beautiful things like we were singing today. I don't know if you want to say anything, but we're going to share some things about how God makes beautiful things out of dust.
Sure. It's actually the story of my life. How God took a little broken little girl who was abused and molested and used every horrible thing for his glory. And only he has the power to do that. And, you know, Cindy, when she called me from the streets January 1st, and when she came home with me, she was 75 pounds. She was just bones. And man, it was so beautiful how God took a little, she looked like she was 100 years old, hearts. Like, she was dust. And he just nurtured her and loved her. And he did that through all of us. You know, that's the part that we play. You know, the encouragement and the love and the support. And it was an honor to be that for 7 months. And then when she relapsed, June 26th, I thought she was just going to come home. I was waiting for her to come home, but she went to her real home. And, you know, the enemy would want us to focus on that one moment of her despair where she turned to something other than what God had for her. But God said, I want you to focus on the beauty that I brought to her and that I decided to take her home. And I was on my way to Calgary to visit her one daughter that she had. And, you know, Cindy had Pam really, really young, and back in those days it was really bad to have a child out of wedlock and at 15 years old. But in God's miraculous plan, if Cindy had waited, she would have never had a child. So Pam ended up only being her only child. And so so me and Kelly, we went to go and see Pam. And on the way there, the Lord spoke to me so clearly, Kim, the devil is going to pay. And I was like, what do you mean, Lord? And he's like, oh, he's going to pay. He thinks that he has won. He hasn't won. He's got to pay. And so I claim hundredfold for Cindy's life. I claim that people, that her life and what happened to her and what they have seen, what drugs can do, that people are going to go running back to God. And that's how he can take a horrible thing and make it beautiful. And that's what he's going to do. It's not going to be in vain. He's going to take that and he's going to make it beautiful. And there's going to be many that say, you know what? I ran back to God because I seen what drugs can do. And you know, I seen Cindy serving the Lord. And I could see just how one moment of turning back to the pit can be where I don't want to go. We can't play with life. And that proved it. We can't play. And that just proved it. I know that she's with the Lord, but I know that she would say the same thing. Just when you come to that moment where you can turn to the world or you can turn to Jesus, run to Jesus. I know if she was standing here right now, that's what she would say. Don't run to your past. Don't run to the old things, whether it be heroin or whether it be food, whether it be smoking, whether it be an ex-boyfriend or whatever it is. Just run to Jesus because he's the answer.
Okay, good words. Let's share a few things today. How has he turned beauty, dust into beauty? And I'm going to look for some people who haven't spoken for a while. So if your hand's up and I don't see it right away, don't be offended. All right, Ann. I'm not sure you haven't spoken in a while. But
Everybody knows that I've been getting prayer for a spot that was on my lung. I was supposed to have a biopsy done on Monday. And I had an x-ray done, and the technician said, damn. And the next, you know, she's calling a doctor in, telling me not to get dressed. The doctor looks at the x-ray, and he says, okay, I want another one now. So I do it. He tells me to go outside for 10 to 15 minutes. The doctor comes in and says, we're not doing a biopsy today. You have what's called walking pneumonia. And I truly believe that it's because of all the prayers that I received. I go back on Monday, tomorrow, and get another x-ray done to see whether that spot is gone or if it's still there. And I believe in my heart it's going to be gone.
Amen. Amen. Does God answer prayer? I've been praying for Annie, and we're just praying for a good result. God's the God who heals. Just a minute. I'm just going to see if there's anyone. Peter?
The the way God turns ashes into beauty for me is I have been having problems with my Jeep for a long time. Just this week, I picked up a $300 Jeep that I planned to use as a parts truck because it wasn't running. But we got it running. It's in better shape than the Jeep I own.
Okay, so it works in lots of different ways. Yes, Sonny.
Hi. It's good to be back in church. I've been with my mother for the last couple of years. I moved her from Edmonton to live with me, and she passed away on June 25th. So she's dancing in the meadows with Cindy. talk about answer to prayer. My mother prayed very quietly and very by herself usually. In the last year, me being outspoken like I am, I started asking her, Mom, do you mind if I pray with you? And she'd say, oh, no, that's fine. So we'd join hands, and I'd go into this prayer, and she'd kind of sit there going, okay, this is kind of loud and outward, you know. But she started to really like it, and then she said, you know, I like when you pray. And every time you asked her how she was, she'd always say, oh, not bad, can't complain, you know. And then I'd say, yeah, you don't have to, because I complain enough for both of us. And that was our joke, eh? And the last little while, she was at home with me till 4 days before she passed. And then she kept saying, Lord, you know, this is enough already. I'm 95 years old. You know, I was gardening up till 2 years ago in my own house. I've had a good long life. What are you waiting for? So she was getting a little impatient. And for her to actually say that she was asking the Lord to take her home. So someone told me that I needed to say to her, it's okay to go, Mom, that I'll be okay, you know. So, and I'm her baby. So she was like, so she went into hospice 4 days before she passed away. She got really weak and really ill, but not in pain. And her prayer was to die in her sleep peacefully, and that's what happened. So she got her prayer answered, and I couldn't be with her when she passed away because that was my... But I always say, God's will. Oh, no, I said that. Now, you know, you have to go along with what happens. But I got a call just after midnight, and when he said, your mom passed away a few moments ago, I said, praise God. And he goes, whoa. You know, I go, oh, her prayers were answered. So it kind of shocked him a bit, but I'm grateful for, thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Amen. He makes beauty out of ashes. He makes beauty out of ashes.
This as short as possible because it's a fairly long story. I wish my daughter was here to share this, but she's had a ongoing trial in her life since her son was born. The grandparents have been trying, not these grandparents, other grandparents have been trying to take him away from her. And about 3 weeks ago, they abducted him. So they went to court, an emergency court session, and there was false allegations brought against her about all these horrible things. And there was a police investigation and a child services investigation. And what happened was my grandson amused everybody, and there was nothing to be worried about. And so he had been put in the care of my daughter-in-law until these things were satisfied. And on Friday we went to court, and the judge returned him back to his mom. And the grandparents were a little shocked, but... everything's going well, and the Lord showed us a sign when he was abducted that they'd literally shot themselves in the foot over this. They had done their last thing to her. And so, praise God, she got her.
And you were praying about that as a congregation. We prayed about that too a few weeks ago. I remember that. And yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you bring from ashes, you know, you bring beauty. It's true, right? Thank you, God. Maybe one or two more. How do we know? Yeah.
You probably think I've been at the mic enough already, but I don't get to just talk. So this past year, now the song says you make beautiful things out of the dust, which is also meaning you make beautiful things out of nothing, essentially. Not just horrible things. And if you look around at how beautiful it is, today is a beautiful day. And that song just hits me, just looking for God's beauty. But this past year, I had a really difficult, I'm a teacher, for those of you who don't know, with Crystal. Booyah. And this past year, I had a really emotional class, really broken kids, just broken kids coming from broken homes. And there's one kid in particular who at the beginning of the year she was swearing. She knew things she shouldn't know. She came from a horrible home. Mom and dad didn't want her. This is grade two. Mom and dad didn't want her. Dad abused her. They lived in a woman's shelter. It was just a mess. And this kid, it was affecting her and the way she acted and the way she treated other kids. But let me tell you something. By the end of the year, this kid was a prayer warrior. And Crystal remembers me coming into the staff room like, you've no idea what Daphne just prayed. Like, this kid was praying that we would run into the darkness instead of away from it because we have a light in us. And she was praying for her parents. And she was praying for change and praying for her classmates to be, you know, kids that make a difference. And this kid ended up being, this seven-year-old ended up being this crazy spiritual pillar in our room, encouraging other kids spiritually. And she went home and was able to deal. Her little sister tried to commit suicide at five, and she was able to really encourage her little sister and her mom. And her mom just came to me saying, who is this girl? Who's my daughter? I don't even know this kid. And so that's God making something beautiful.
Wow. Amen. Okay, Doug.
Good morning, everybody. I want to encourage you to either get involved in Vacation Bible School or have your kids go, because I'm a product of a Vacation Bible School. Grew up in a home where we didn't go to church. God was never talked about. But they sent us to Vacation Bible School for 2 years when I was about 9, 10, 11 years old. And that's where my walk with the Lord started. God's hand was in it. He used Bible school to get me started. It took another 20 years before I give my life to the Lord, but that's where it all started. I encourage you, get involved or send your kids.
And that's such an encouraging report. Thank you, God. And lives are changed. You know, my prayer is I don't care why people send their kids. Maybe they just want to get rid of them for 3 hours. It doesn't matter to me. But we get a chance to minister to them, to share Christ. It's all about life. The whole theme this year is about life, that he's the resurrection and the life. And there's going to be five lessons about that. And it's all about the cross, and it's all about that we get life only one way. And there's only hope in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Luis, I'm going to give you the last word here. Remember what we're talking about here, right? How God brings beauty.
Well, I just want to say that God is powerful. I remember last year I didn't have a job for a few months. A lot of people here helped me in different way. And they were praying for me because I had to provide for my family. And after that, God answered, and no, we want job. He answered with four jobs at the same time. So since that moment, I have been working in different places. And I want to say thanks, God. And we have to trust and follow him. And that way, I know I'm going to be working just for a while. I don't want to work too much. But because I know Jesus is coming soon. And I don't know if you see the news right now for everywhere. And Israel, what happened over there. Sometimes it's easy to be distracted by the world and everything, all pressure and the job and everything. And I would like to do something else for him, but I don't have time. So it's the two point of view. So when you don't have job, you have time, but you are thinking I need money. But when you have too much to do, or you are doing, or you are very busy, we don't have time to do something that we can feel happier, because the only way that we are happy is when we are close to God. Because you can have everything in the world, but if we don't have God in our heart, nothing happens. The most beautiful for God is that unity as a family, everyone, and every time we say we don't have time. So the most important, I want to give my testimony. Thanks God, because and bless the church and every member for this church. Everyone is helping each other, and in that way we can go or be successful in everything when we are together in unity. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Let's pray. It's time to pray. God, we thank you, and we need you so much. And thank you that you're here today. Thank you for just what Luis was saying, that we're family, that we join together, and that you bind us with your spirit, that we share the same Holy Spirit, and that we are one in that spirit. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you that we have a great testimony today, that this is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. And I thank you that you make beauty out of ashes, out of dust. And we have lots of examples of that. You continue to show us that. So we will not despair, and we will not grow discouraged. We continue to trust in you, Lord. And we want to be there when you return, Jesus. We know you're going to come, and you said yourself, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? Lord, we want to be among the faithful. We want to be there when the trumpet sounds, that we're ready for you. I thank you, God, that you're a faithful and a good God. I thank you that you love us, and it's that motivation of love that you have for us, that you continue to sustain our lives and bless us and provide for us. You answer prayer, like in Annie's case, and like in Ted and Anita's case, God, and in other cases, Lord, you are answering prayers. You are hearing us as we call out to you, and we know that you are the real and the living God. I pray today, Lord, for some who are here today who are hurting. Some of us are hurting because of Cindy, and there's some of us who've come today because of Cindy, and there are people here who don't normally come, but they want to make a change in their lives, and I thank you that they're here. And we pray, God, that you'll just show them that you love them and that you got a much better way to live. There's a much better way to live than the way of drugs and of booze and parties and chasing after money or all the other ways, Lord, that we live, that the only hope we have is in you. Just show us that today. I pray that as we hear your word, that your word will be clear, that we'll listen, Lord, and that we'll hear you call our names, that you know our names, you know us by name. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for Norma today, for Bob, as Norma's brother is failing and not doing very well, and they're saying that there's not a whole lot of time for Gary, so we pray for Gary, God, and pray that the faith that he has would be heightened and enhanced, and that he will reach out to you with arms of love and even arms of desperation, God. I pray for Gary, and that you would show him, because you are God who shows yourself. You are God who reveals, so reveal yourself to Gary. And I thank you, Lord, that we have great hope in you. Father, I just want to also pray for Warren here and for Rose. Thank you, Lord, that Warren can be here and Rose can be here today. And for all these weeks that he spent in the hospital and all the awful things that have happened, that had to happen, we still give you praise. We still trust in you. And, Lord, I pray and just infer your grace and your mercy and your strength in Warren's life, and that you will continue to heal him, Lord. He has battled with this for just about 20 years, and you have sustained his life. And I thank you for the joy and for the mind of Christ that I see in this man. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord, that I know we could go on, that there's so many things we could testify of. You've been good, and I need to remind myself, I need to be reminded of that today. None of this is about me, that it's all about you. Everything is about you, Jesus. It's about your kingdom, and we don't shrink away. We're not filled with a spirit of timidity, but we're filled with a spirit of power. You give us a sound mind. You give us strength. We don't give up. We press on, God. May we be among the faithful who press on and who encourage each other that you are Lord. No matter what we think we see, you are the Lord and you are the King, and that you are in control. And that your victory has already been won. You've already won this battle on our behalf on the cross. And so thank you for your blood, Jesus. And as we hear your word now, God, we need to listen. And we hear all kinds of different words and opinions and philosophies and thinking. We only want to hear what you have to say, Lord. So speak through your word today. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you have your Bible, open it today to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, as someone said earlier, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and for the last number of weeks, been looking at all those kind of things. What's going on in this world, and what's happening, and how many Christians are being persecuted? We've been talking a little bit about that. The struggles that other believers, other Christians are facing in other parts of the world. And that really the cry, we were talking about last week, I'd like to try to put this in a context for you if you weren't here, but that really the context is the cry of the church, and it was the cry of the disciples saying, how long, Jesus? How long is this going to be? And Jesus said in John, he said, in a little while you will not see me, and then after a little while you will see me. And so the answer to the cry, how long, O Lord, which we also saw in Psalm 13, if you remember. The answer to the cry, how long is this going to be? How long are we going to face this persecution? And there's people in the world who are Christians who are facing that persecution. We saw that. We talked about that. How long are we going to see this poverty and the diseases and the injustice? How long, O Lord? The answer to that question is, it's just a little while. For just a little while more, he says. A little longer. Hang in there is really what he's saying. It's a word that's intended to be encouragement. I think that, you know, it was a hard word to hear last Sunday, and I know that some people, you know, were kind of fighting against it. We don't want to talk about this. We don't want to hear that there's persecution and famine and that there's wars and that things are going to get harder and that, in fact, the persecution and the tribulation is going to mount. We don't want to hear that kind of thing, but it's clearly what's in God's Word. And to be honest with you, that's the only job I have. The only job I have is to tell you what's in here. And you can decide, because you have the Holy Spirit, whether this is what the Spirit is saying. But it doesn't say in here that everything's going to get wonderful. It doesn't say that you're not going to have troubles. In fact, it says you will have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so it is an encouraging word, because really, it's Jesus who says to his church, hang in there. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be surprised if you hear that there are other Christians losing their lives. Don't be despondent if there's all kinds of hard things going on in the world. These things must happen for me to come. And I am waiting. Really, that's a message of God's great patience. I'm waiting. I'm going to come. One day the trumpet will sound. I promise you it's going to happen. But until then, hang in there. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't get into a pity party. Don't slap each other on the back and say, oh, woe is us. Oh, poor, poor us here. Don't do that. Right? Just trust in me. Okay. Revelation. Let's start here. And I'm going to kind of read this backwards. I don't mean that I'm going to start. I'm going to read starting at verse 9. Then we're going to go back to verse 1. And I'm only going to read chapter verse 9 because this ties in so well. Verse 9 of chapter 6 ties in so well to what we were saying last time. And because some people were saying or have been saying, well, I don't want to hear all this talk about, you know, that we got to wait and how long. Well, listen to what, if you really feel that way, listen to what this says. Starting with verse 9, and we hear about the fifth seal that gets opened. And I know this is hard stuff. I'll explain a little of this later. But when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. And they called out in a loud voice. What did they call out? How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? And then each of them was given a white robe. And they were told to wait a little longer. Until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed, as they had been, until that number was completed. I had a professor in seminary who said you shouldn't, none of you, he said, should preach on Revelation. None of you should dare touch that subject until you are at least 40 years old. And now that I am 40, you know, it's not like I've never preached on Revelation, but this is a hard, I got to say right off the bat, this is a hard subject. It's all about, it's like telling, it's like telling someone else's dream. Someone tells you their dream or they have this vision, and then you've got to sort of tell it to someone else and interpret it, and they don't interpret it for you. You've got to make the interpretation. The book of Revelation isn't all that easy, and that's why it probably takes a lot of maturity, and it takes patience, and it takes time to get into this. But we're going to get into it today, and I don't know where God is leading for the weeks to come. But in Revelation chapter 6, now we're going to read the first part of this. And it's about the coming of Jesus Christ. It's about the promise that this Savior who came once is going to come again. It's about the blood of Christ, that he's already won the victory for us, but one day Jesus is going to return. And that for that day to come, there is going to need to be an unleashing of some awful things that the world is going to have to face for the very purpose that men will turn from their evil and their wicked ways and turn to Jesus Christ. God's got a purpose in this, and he talks in this passage about what you may have heard of as the four horsemen. Let's read about that. Revelation 6. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals, and then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a loud voice like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come!" Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to make peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard the four living creatures, then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." And when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. And that's where we end our reading today. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. By the way, that word apocalypse just means revelation. We kind of make it, into a whole bunch of other things. It's just a revelation. And today what we have before us is Jesus telling us about what's going to come in the end times that we are certainly living in today, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's going to end 5 years from now or 5 minutes from now. I don't know that. The Bible says if anyone says they do know that, you shouldn't believe them or trust them. No one knows the day or the time or the hour. But what God's Word says here in Revelation is that there's going to be some real clear indications of the coming of Christ, and that things are not going to get easier or better. They're going to get much harder. And let's go through this sort of kind of quickly so that we understand that there's these four horses that are coming. The one is the horse who is white. And there's a lot of Christians and some Bible scholars who have interpreted that white horse to be Jesus himself, but that's really not the case here at all. And if you get into this more, most biblical scholars will tell you that the white horseman is not Jesus, but is an imposter. All right? So the reason why he's riding a white horse is because he wants to look like Jesus. And so really, the first horseman that's going to come is an imposter. He is Antichrist, or Antichrists, plural. And he's coming. It's religion. We talked about religion over the last number of months. This is about religion. And it says here that he had a loud voice like thunder. "Come," the white horseman says. "There before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown." He looked like he was Jesus. But if you read If you want to read later on, you read Revelation 19, you'll get a better picture of what Jesus really looks like when he's riding on the white horse. And he's not riding with some kind of a bow. He's got a mighty sword in his hand, and there's a much more accurate description of him. But what it says here is that this religious spirit, or this horse that represents religion, that he was given a crown. He will appear. It will appear like it will be Jesus. It'll appear like this is a right and pure religion, but he rides out as a conqueror bent on conquest. That's how it's described. And you know what? That's really what religion has been all through the years, is a conqueror bent on conquests. Religions have tried to conquer or put under conquest other religions. And we've even done that within Christianity, within denominations, where we've, you know, tried to conquer others. And we have this sort of mentality that we're better, we're smarter, ours is the only right way. That's religion. That's not true faith through Jesus Christ. And without saying a whole lot more than that, I just want to say here's what the horseman represents. That one of the greatest dangers that we face in this world today is religion, and that most of the battles and the wars and the struggles and the persecution and the hard things that are going on in places like Nigeria, like Kenya, like Iraq, Iran, like North Korea, like China, that those things are all originating in religion. And religion and originating in a white horseman who's only interested in one thing, and that is conquest. He wants to put you under his thumb. That's number one. I know I'm going kind of fast. You'll have to listen quickly. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And then another horse came, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. The second red horse is a peace thief. He's a peace thief. He causes war. He causes men to slay men, he says, which is really what happens in the world. You know, it's not Satan or some demonic power who's just taking out people. He has a way of inciting us against each other. And boy, we see that in all kinds of places. And it just seems, you know, I'm almost scared to keep preaching about this, because every time I preach about it, it seems like there's more awful things happening in the world. Not the latest of which has been, or the latest of which has been, what's going on in Israel and Hamas and the Gaza Strip, and how many people are losing their lives. And it is men who are warring against men. This is a horse. This is a horseman who is a peace thief. And in other words, he is breeding warfare in the world. I don't know about you, but I think we see that everywhere. And it's growing, and it's intensifying, and people are willing to lose their lives for causes that are anything but following God, who is the true God. He will make men slay each other, and to that horseman was given a large sword. And it goes on to the third horse. He says, "Then the Lamb opened the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard what sounded like a voice coming from the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a day's wages and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine.'" There's a lot in here. This black horse is the horse of famine and economic ruin. And that as we move into the end times, there's going to be both of those things. You know, a bag of gold it takes to, you know, buy a loaf of bread sort of mentality. That there's going to be great inequity in the world. And the one line there is kind of astounding, especially for those of us who live in Alberta, where it says, "Make sure you protect the oil and the wine." He says, "I looked and there was a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand, but the scale isn't balanced." And there's great inequity. There's famine and there's economic ruin. And as we approach the day of Jesus coming, I believe what God's Word is saying is that that's going to happen more and more, and it's going to be more intensified. And that we're going to be dealing with the results of the war. And the results of the war is that there's famine. Let's read the fourth one. That the Lamb opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death and Hades. And following close behind him, they were given the power over the fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and by the plague. I guess what I'm trying to get to, what I'm saying is that these all flow together. All the four horsemen, they don't just ride on their own, they're riding together. And it starts with one that is the Antichrist, or is that spirit of religion. From there, there's warfare and there's death. From there, there's famine and there's economic disaster. And all of these result or flow from the other. And then the final thing is that there is famine and that there is great disease that happens in the land. And all of these are presented to us and given to us as warnings. That this is what's going to happen, that we need to be prepared. You need to be ready. It's not going to be easy. And if you look back, I don't know if you have your Bibles open, but turn to Matthew chapter 24. Because really, it's in Matthew chapter 24 that Jesus really follows that same progression. In other words, what happens, what we read in his vision in John's vision in Revelation is really no different than what Jesus had said already. And I'm going to just read this for you. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus said this. And if you listen carefully as I read this, you'll hear and you'll see the four horsemen as Jesus prophesied. He says here, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Did you see that? Starts with that. Watch out, because many are going to come in my name and they're going to say, "I am the Christ." And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. There's that second horseman, right? There's the horseman. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. And then he says this. Here's a little more about the war. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And now here's the third one. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of the birth pangs. And then here's the fourth horseman. And then you will be handed over, and the fourth one is death, right? Then you will be handed over, and you will be persecuted, and you will be put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Give me a sec here. I'm trying not to be confusing, but I know this is kind of confusing sometimes. And I said, it's hard stuff to preach about. The point I'm trying to make is that what we read in Revelation is really something that Jesus had already spoken about. He told us what it was going to be like in the end times. He told us that there's going to be war, that there's going to be disease, there's going to be famine, there are going to be all the results of war, there's going to be persecution at the end, and then at the very end there's going to be death. There are going to be Christians who lose their lives. And that the enemy he's going to do everything he can to war against us. You know, he doesn't just send out one horse, he sends out three horses, or four horses. I'm not even listening to myself. He sends out four horses that are going to war against the world that we live in. They're going to take on and use every means possible to bring destruction to this world and to those who stand up for Jesus Christ, to those who maintain and who keep the faith. And I want you to notice, there's a lot of things we could talk about here, and most of the time when we talk about the revelation of John or this chapter, we talk about the different color of the horses, we can talk about that, we can talk about what everything represents, but one of the things that almost no one talks about, and I did a lot of research on this week, but I think it's so vital and so important, is that each of the horsemen says one word: come. Each one, doesn't matter whether you're the white horse or the red horse or the black one or the pale one, they've got one message, and that's come. Why are we missing that? Come is a word of invitation. It's a word of enticement. It's a word of, you know, beckoning. Come. Come. Come to me. That, you know, even though the picture is of someone riding a horse and it looked like he's a warrior and he's swinging the sword, in reality, the enemy works in this way. He says, come. Why don't you just come to me? And I got something I have to offer you that's going to be amazing. You know, let me show you what I've got, right? He says, come. The horsemen don't cry out, death, you know, or disease, or here's some famine for you. He doesn't do that. He just says one word. He just says, come. I mean, and isn't that how it works? Isn't that exactly how you experience that in life? That it's just that little one word, just come. Come. You know, I was thinking about Cindy all week and wondering why this happened. I go through this sometimes. And why does she die? Why does she go back? Why did she try heroin? Why would she make that choice? And I really believe that, you know, the answer God gave me is that it's not so much. It's not so much that she made this deliberate choice. It's not like she woke up one day and said, you know, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to put a needle in my arm and I'm going to end life. That's not what happened. What really happened was that she accepted an invitation that she should never have accepted in the first place. That something or someone or some evil power was beckoning to her, come. And it was an old, familiar voice. Come. Why don't you come? Why don't, and, you know, some of you guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? Whether it's the bottle or whether it's the lottery tickets or whether it's any number of things, an old friend, an old familiar face. Come on. Why don't you come? I got something for you. It's going to be something good. I know you're, no, I'm not doing that. Because you know, right? You know, right? But you know what I'm talking about, right? That there's that voice and that I think it's absolutely telling, and we need to see this today, that no matter how you want to interpret these four horsemen of the apocalypse, they have one word for you. It's just, come on, I have something for you. Let me show you something. And what we don't realize is that it's all about death. And it's all about destruction. It's all about living in a way that is going to leave us only in misery. And what God's really been saying to me this week is that it's Jesus who really has that message of come that we need to listen to. You know, we have a choice to make. You're going to listen to one of those four horses, or you're going to listen to Jesus. Throughout the scriptures, particularly in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, come. He says it over and over and over again. He starts his ministry by talking to his disciples or seeing his disciples, or they're fishermen, and he says, come, follow me. That's all he said, just come, follow me. Jesus said, whoever would come after me, he uses that word again, whoever would come after me must take up his cross and follow me. And when Peter was seeing Jesus walking on the water, he said, Jesus, you know, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said to Peter, just said one word. He said, Peter, he said, come. That word come is Jesus' word. It's Jesus who compels us to respond to him, right? It's Jesus who invites us to come where it's safe and where there's hope and where we're going to live with him forever and forever. It's Jesus who says in Matthew, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me. And I'll give you rest. It's Jesus who says that, right? It's Jesus is the one who calls us. That's the message. We got a choice to make. You can listen to those other voices. You can bet on those horses. But all of those horses, none of them are going to add up to anything. None of them. And you want to talk about Jesus saying, come? Listen to Revelation. I love this. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 17. Hear Jesus when he says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life." Isn't that great? I mean, that's Jesus saying, just come. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to threaten you, because I am not like one of those horses. And as a matter of fact, if you're betting on horses, you're betting on the wrong thing, because it isn't a horse that's going to save you. It's going to be a lamb. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb of God. And your horse will never come in. You know, I know people use that statement sometimes. You know, one day my horse is going to come in for me. No, your horse is never going to come in, because the only hope you have is the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God, Jesus, he looks you in the eye and he says, come. What's stopping you? Come to me. Just come. I'm here and I love you, and I want you to have a life that is abundant and free. I just want you to come. I'm the only hope you have. I'm all you got. But not everyone follows that word of Jesus, you know. So many people are listening to the other voices out there that are compelling them or calling them or beckoning them to come back to the pit, back to the life of misery. Come. Ricky, come. Come here. I want you to come. Walking is fine. Why did you come?
Because I love you.
Yeah.
I love the body of Christ.
Amen. Thank you. You're done. I just wanted to, and I love what you said, but I want you to see how easy it is to come. But, you know, that works both ways. The enemy says come, and sometimes we just come too. We get up and go, and we're not discerning, and we're not really ready to no really understanding that we're going to the wrong place. I think you can sit down. You know, it's, we need to come when Jesus calls you to come. We need to know that voice is Jesus' voice. Come to me, Jesus said. All you who are weary and heavy burden, come to me and I'll give you rest. A couple of weeks ago, I was playing in a softball tournament. I've been on the same softball team for about 20 years. And we were in a tournament, and we had a new girl on our team, and she's a police officer, and I didn't know her, but we, you know, in between innings, you get a chance to sit down with people sometimes because you got a few minutes, and I sat down and started talking to her a little bit. And I mean, this is kind of a church league, although not all the teams are church teams, but I just felt, as we were talking, and she was telling me about her divorce and some of the struggles that she was going through, I just felt God saying to me, be bold, because I've been talking about boldness, and I figured I better be bold too sometimes. So I just looked at her and I said, are you a Christian? And I just said that to her. So are you a Christian? Or she said, well, and this is her answer to me. Well, not technically, was her answer. I don't know. And I laughed. I said, what a great answer. I don't know what that means, not technically. I think what she meant was, I haven't been confirmed, or I've never confessed my faith, or maybe she'd never been baptized. But I mean, I just looked her in the eyes and I said, are you a Christian? And she says, well, not technically. I said, well, you know, there is no technically. All you need to do is come. It doesn't matter whether you're a church member. It doesn't matter whether you've been confirmed or whether you've gone through the catechism or all that stuff. All that matters is that when Jesus says come, you just get up and you come. And that's what it is. You know, and I try to explain that to her a little bit. And we didn't have a lot of time. But that's what I want to tell you today. That the word, you know, the enemy is going to call you to come. There's going to be that message. Come. Come and try this. Come back to this lifestyle. Come and see what I have for you. Man, I've got some great, incredible things in store for you. Just try some of this stuff. You're going to hear that enticement. And he's a liar. And he wants to steal, and he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy, and he will not give you the goods. He will lie to you. He'll tell you everything that you want to hear, but he's a liar. He's a liar. You know what snake oil salesmen sell? Do you know what snake oil salesmen sell? Snake oil. Come on. It wasn't a hard question. Snake oil salesman sells snake oil. And that's what the serpent sells. It's just snake oil. You know what snake oil is? Am I saying something you guys don't know? This is a term from back in the 1800s, you know, when guys used to come to towns and sell this potion that it was just oil, you know, nothing in it. But it was had all these healing properties, and people thought, oh, if I just buy this, if I drink a little, my life will be all better. Man, it's just all a big facade. It's a lie. Snake oil salesmen sell snake oil, and the enemy sells nothing but serpent oil. It's just lies. It isn't true. It's only going to destroy your life. How many know that today? I know a lot of you know it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You can clap. Because you've been down that road before, and you've heard that voice before. And you know that the word of the enemy is a call, it's a beckoning to get back to that old life, go back to those old friends, go back to those old ways. But that is a way of destruction and death. It's a way of war and famine. It's a way of disease. And that's what the Bible's saying today. That's what those horsemen represent. But you do not need to listen to that voice. Instead, you just need to hear the voice of the Lamb of God, who says, come to me. And you know, I was praying about this last night for a while. I couldn't sleep, and I said, well, God, what does this mean? I understand what it means, and I understand that sometimes people come to you, Jesus, for the first time. And he just made something really clear to me. He said, yeah, you know what, though, my boy? It's not just the first time thing. You need to keep coming. You need to keep coming, and when you're struggling or when you're going through a hard time or when you can't figure something out, you always try to figure it out on your own. I want you not just to come one time at a Billy Graham crusade. I want you to keep coming. I still have that one message, that's that one word for you. Come and keep coming. Come and get close to me. Come and get into my word. Come and worship. Come and know me. So that's a message for every one of us. You know, if you've never given your life to Jesus, then come to Jesus. Man, you better do it quickly. He's calling you right now. He's calling you today. He's saying, if you want to have a fresh start with me, I'm here ready for you. I'm waiting for you. I didn't go anywhere. Did you hear me? I didn't leave you. I didn't go anywhere. I'm here waiting for you. And there's a chance, there's another opportunity for you to come today to Him. But if you have come to Him, and you know you have Jesus in your heart, and that He's poured His Holy Spirit upon you, you know what the message is? It's still come. Come. Keep coming. Come to me. Get into my arms. Why do you squiggle out of my arms? Come back to me. Come and seek me every single day. Because I can be found, and I want you to know me. I want you to know me. Amen? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So I just want to give this opportunity, if there's anyone here today that you need to come right now to Jesus. You know that you haven't been coming to Him, or you've never, ever come in the first place. And why don't we pray? I want to pray for you. I want to give you that opportunity. It isn't me. I'm not the one saying come. Jesus is saying come. He's saying come to me. If you need a change in your life, if you know today that you're here today for this reason, you needed to hear this message. You need to know that Jesus loves you and that He wants you to come to Him or to come back to Him. Then you know you're not here by accident. You're here because He called you to be here, and He wants to give you what you need. You cannot do this. Listen to me. You cannot do this on your own. You'll never be able to pull this off, and I don't care how strong your will is. It'll never be strong enough. You'll never be able to do it. You'll still fall because you'll listen to the voice that you should never listen to. So today, if you need that prayer and it's time for you to come to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to just come right now. Anyone want to come? Thanks, El. Come running, buddy. Come running. Darren. Hallelujah. I love you, buddy. I love you. Come in here. What's your name?
Monica.
Monica. Yeah, I knew that. Darren? Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to take a minute here because I think there might be one or two more. I'll just give you an opportunity.
Come.
Come, God.
Come.
Yeah.
Come.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're coming because you call us. And it's time. I know that for Monica, for Darren, for Al, they would agree with that statement. It's time, and something has to give here. Something has to change. Thank you, Jesus. And we are believing today, we're believing that you are calling. This is your voice. You're the one saying, come to me. We don't have any hope apart from you. We can't do this on our own. We can't win this battle. We can't, not without you, Jesus. And we admit today, we admit that we've been listening to a lot of other voices, and we have followed those voices. We've given in. We've given in to our cravings. We've given in to whatever that is. You know what it is, Jesus. I'm just so glad today, based on your word, Lord, that your grace is amazing. That your love is an undying love for us. That you love Carrie and Monica and Darren and Al. And today you offer them a brand new life. Thank you, Jesus. We need you. There's no other way. So I'm just going to ask you to pray after me. Let's just say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I come to you.
I come to you.
Come into my heart.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Give me an abundant life.
And I just receive you into my heart. And I thank you that you love me. In spite of me. Hallelujah. I pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead. Yeah, it's all right.
Your grace run out. If I let you down.
Thank you, God. If you need prayer today, maybe it's not about making a commitment to Christ, but you just need prayer. It's time to pray. Come on up. Let's minister and pray with each other. Tim, would you come and pray? And Marina, would you pray too? Come on up here. Let's pray for each other. Praise God. Come on up, Josh. We need to pray for you, bro. You know Josh? Yeah. Amen. Josh needs a place to live.
I am a sinner. There's no one thing.
God's got your name on it. You know, Jesus has your name on his lips. He's saying, Josh, today.
You are a Savior. I can take brokenness aside,
right? You know,
and make it beautiful.
God, pray for Josh. Thank you for him. He's here for a specific reason. He's here because you call him here today, God. Thank you, Jesus. And you are calling him out of...
Will you call me child? When I tell you lies, 'cause all I know is how to cry. I am a sinner, there's no one thing, it's another.
I'm just going to give a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you His peace. Amen. May He make it.